Morning. Today's daf is Ayin Dalet and Bava Basra. So we start today on the very bottom of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, and we are in Divrei Agadata. The Gemara yesterday started with some Agadata. The Gemara is going to tell us 21 successive stories. The Gemara is not going to stop. There's still more Agadata coming up after that. But the 21 successive stories told in the Gemara, a lot of them have to do with fantastic creatures. Creatures that we simply can't relate to, never seen. Rumors have been circulating for years, for centuries, about some of these animals, but we don't know from these animals, and it could very well be that that there are no such animals. It could just simply be that the Gemara over here is trying to communicate to us ideas and concepts that are very deep and penetrating. The Gemara is just using animals as a way of presenting a mashal. It's just an analogy. It's a form of communication. But the truth of the matter is that the Gemara is not to be taken on its most literal sense. As I mentioned yesterday, as I'm going to do again today, I present the Gemara Kipshuto, just a simple pshat in the Gemara. Yesterday I made a recommendation. I'll repeat my recommendation. There's a book written by Rav Aaron Feldman. Rav Aaron Feldman is Rosh Yeshiva of Neri Yisrael in Baltimore, and he found a pamphlet of the Vilna Gaon's explanation of some of the Agadata, a lot of the Agadata that we're seeing over the course of yesterday and today, both Daf Ayin Gimel and Ayin Dalet in Bava Basra. He translated the works of the Gra. Not only did he translate it, but he really gave it a lot of explanation, and he presented it very cleanly. And so the name of the work is called The Juggler and the King. It's based on the title of the book is based on one of the stories that we saw yesterday in the Daf regarding What was one of the demons that was juggling. But anyway, I highly recommend it. So it's Rav Aaron Feldman giving over the Gra's understanding of a lot of the Agadata that we saw yesterday and today. We are on the bottom of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. We are going to pick it up where we left off. And we are up to story number 12. I told you there are 21 successive stories. So we are on the very last line of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. Amar li ta'ach v'lei meisei midbar. So this is now a dialogue taking place between Rabbah Bar Bachana and an Arab. And he says, you know what I like to see? I like to see Meisei Midbar. I like to see those that died in the Midbar. We know that we have an entire generation of people who died in the Midbar. That's the Dor HaMidbar. They left Mitzrayim. They were supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael, but as a result of a number of incidents, so they didn't go into Eretz Yisrael, and they died in the Midbar. So Rabbah Bar Bachana wanted to go see them in the Midbar. Azle chazisinu v'damu kaman de mivsameh. So fine, so they go and they explore the desert, and this particular Arab knew exactly where they were buried, and he sees them, and he sees the remnants of their bodies, and they looked as if they were intoxicated. Okay? Exactly what that means, I don't know. Meaning that they saw the actual physical bodies themselves? Could be, possibly. Veganu apirkat. Now, in terms of how they were lying on their back. That's the way the Rashbam explains it. Shayu shochvim befanim tzuavos kishesui ayin. So that's the Rashbam actually going back on the previous point. They looked like they were intoxicated. And apirkad panav lamala. So they faced above. So we know that we have minhag Yisrael that when we bury our dead, so that we bury it facing up. Every chaver kedusha knows that the body should be faced in an upward position, where the back is to the floor, to the ground, and the face is up. Our Gemara speaks exactly to this idea. Now the knee of one of the Dor HaMidbar, the knee of one of the deceased of the Dor HaMidbar was bent. And an Arab was going underneath the bent knee of the Arab. Ki rachiv gamala uzekife rumche, while riding on a camel, while holding a spear in his hand. So in other words, obviously we're giving increased height to this particular Arab. Velonagabe, and still plenty of room to go underneath the knee of the deceased Dor HaMidbar. Okay, obviously over here, obviously, it's not to be taken literally. Perhaps the Gemara is over here speaking to the idea, I'm just making a suggestion, perhaps the Gemara is speaking to the idea that the Dor HaMidbar were people who were uncommonly wise. The Dor HaMidbar was the Dor Dea. They had a unique knowledge about them. And even us nowadays, even if we augment our own particular height, we still can't reach the heights of the Dor HaMidbar. Perhaps that's what the Gemara is trying to communicate. Paski chadetana de techilta techad minau. Now Rabbi Bachana goes over to the deceased of one of the Dor HaMidbar, and what an opportunity. There are tzitzis hanging off the side of his beged, meaning they were buried in their tzitzis, in their talesim, in their tzitzis. And so what he wanted to do is he wanted to cut off the corner in order to bring it back and show off his friends, for reasons which I'm going to articulate in just a moment why he wanted to do that. Just give me one.
They weren't buried with the tzitzis. They actually died first. Really, right? And then it was a question of
deep. I don't know.
They will die. They will lie down in the graves.
I'll get back to that point. Okay, that's a fair point. I'll get back to it. Chaminai v'lo hava mistagilan. So the Gemara says, well, after Rabbi Bachana cut off the tzitzis of the Dor HaMidbar, so one of the members of the Dor HaMidbar, so now they're trying to go back, but it's not working. Meaning, however they transported themselves out to the desert, they could not get themselves back because he was holding the tzitzis. Obviously, the tzitzis was holding them back. So he said to me, meaning the Arab said to me, to Rabbi Bachana, well, maybe he took something from theirs. Adre de Gemira. Ahadre, so I need you to return it. De Gemir, because we have a tradition. Demand de shakal midi minayu lo mistagile, because once you take something from them, we cannot go any further. So basically, leave everything behind. Azlo adri say, but under mistagilan. So fine. So he took the tzitzis, he put it back, and then we went on our way. Ki also coming to Rabban Namrle. So now I told the chachamim, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to bring back the tzitzis, but I couldn't do it. And I went back to the chachamim. And the Chachamim said to me, "Call Abba Chamara." So you know it's funny. Said the Chachamim said to him. Now his name was Rabbi Barbachana, but the word Rabbi is not really his name. Rabbi is a contraction. Rabbi is a contraction of Rebbe Abba. Basically, what happens is you swallow the Aleph in the beginning of Abba. So Rebbe Abba turns into Rabbi. So Rabbi Barbachana is really Rebbe Abba. So call Abba Chamara. Every Abba is referenced is really like a Chamara. Which, as the Rashi points out over here, means the donkey, meaning you're foolish. Foolish like a donkey. V'chol bar barchana sichsa. And anyone who goes by the name barchana, or bar barchana, is sichsa, is really a fool. So, and you're both. You're Rabba and you're bar barchana. So you're really a fool. So, lamai hilchza varahachi. What was behind your action of trying to bring the tzitzis back to us? Like, what were you trying to accomplish? So, lemeida kebeisham and kebeisilam. So, you want to know whether or not the halacha falls either like beisham or beisilam. There is a machlokas, as the Rashi points out over here, in the Gemara Menachos, in terms of how many strings are attached to each of the four corners of the tzitzis. Tana Rabbanan, I'm reading straight out of the Rashi. Tana Rabbanan, divra amascha lamai hilchasa, right in the middle of the Rashi. Kamachutin hu no sin beishame omrim arba. So Beishame says 4 and Beisil says 3. And yes, it's a curiosity that in this regard, we possibly like Beishame, not like Beisil. And we put 4 strings on every one of the corners of the tzitzis. So, obviously the Dordea, the generation of the Midbar, so they had a Mesorah, and their Mesorah was actually excellent, considering the fact that they learned the halachas of tzitzis from Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu learned it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one can easily imagine that this would end any kind of debate whatsoever, that if the Rabba Barchana came back with tzitzis that were worn by the Dor HaMidbar, that was told to them over by Moshe Rabbeinu, so the discussion and debate have officially come to an end. So what he wanted to do is he actually wanted to bring it back to show them that this is exactly what they were. And the Chachamim, I'm back to the Gemara says, well, what you should have done, they told Rabbi Bechana, is just simply count. Meaning, you don't need to show us, just simply count how many tzitzis there are, and tell us how many tzitzis are, how many wrappings there are, and that will be sufficient, and that would be fine. And your report would be just as good as showing us. If I could defend Rabbi Barchana, so Rabbi Barchana would say, look, if I give you a report, that's fine. But if I show you, that's even better. Meaning it's better evidence to show than to just simply say, here's what I saw. Okay. Anyway.
But isn't there an issue of Tumah?
Yeah, there's a lot of issues here. Okay. So so let's quickly run through perhaps one of the most interesting parts of today's daf in terms of a discussion, and that is the second Tosos on the Amud. It's a long Tosos, but it's really interesting. The Dor HaMidbar were buried in tzitzis. And we have a minug where we bury our dead men in tzitzis. And a good minug, bad minug, right minug, wrong minug, like where do we stand on that minug? Now, in terms of the minug, just one very interesting aside. So we know that whenever you go to a cemetery, whenever you go to a funeral, so you have, in other words, if you're wearing tzitzis, so you must take your tzitzis and you must tuck them into your pants. You can't wear your tzitzis out. Why? Because the Gemara says you're Lod L'Rosh. Because he's in a position where he can't fulfill mitzvahs. You're in a position where you can. Every mitzvah we perform, we're going to be getting schar. He's just simply not in that position anymore. So you're mocking him. You're making fun of him if you wear tzitzis directly in his face. So therefore, our minhag is to tuck our tzitzis in whenever we go to the cemetery or funeral. So now let's go back to the minhag. There's a minhag. There's an old minhag of bearing with tzitzis. Is that a good minhag or not a good minhag? So I ask a very simple question. If we have to tuck our tzitzis in whenever we go to the cemetery or we go to the funeral, one can easily make an argument, well, we don't want to make him feel bad. Imagine putting an entire talus with tzitzis on him right before burying him. That's strange. So is it a good minhag? Is it a bad minhag? What kind of minhag is it? So it's first of all, it's a minhag. Calling it good or bad is, you know, not the right words, but does it have a source? Seemingly the answer is yes, because our Gemara talks about the Dora Midbar having tzitzis and being buried in the tzitzis, in the talasim. Tosfos over here, we'll start the discussion, start from the beginning of Tosfos. Paske Charekana de Techilta. This is the Gemara line of the Gemara where Rabbi Barchana was going to cut off one of the corners of the tzitzis of the Dora Midbar. Mashma hachashiyah tzitzis amesim. Certainly sounds like from our Gemara that you're supposed to put a mace in a talus before burying the mace. V'yeshiz choshayu nechnasim mechayim bekefer kadam rabbe mejesh. Shekol erev tishabav hayu ochin kishen chayim lesoch kivreim v'ayabaskol yotzus v'omros. He bado achayim in a mason. But Tosfos easily just discards the proof because look, we also know that they weren't buried. In other words, we have the Medrash that tells us that they dug their graves on every Erev Tisha B'Av for the 40 years they were in the desert. They went into the graves, and then whoever died, and whoever was alive came out of the grave. So they weren't buried in their tzitzis. It just happens to be that was how they died, while fully dressed. So it's not a proof that we go out of our way to take a talus and to put it on somebody right before we bury them. So our Gemara over here is not definitive proof, but the Gemara in Menachos seems to be much stronger proof. Okay, so there's a Gemara in Menachos that certainly seems to indicate very clearly that, at least a statement made by Rav Yochanan, that they put tzitzis on the mace right before they bury the mace. In fact, the Medrash says that if you go to Parsha Shlach, you will find two parshios that are juxtaposed one to the other. That is Mekoshesh Eitzim, the gatherer of the wood, and that is the Parsha of Tzitzis. L'malacha Asha Meitzim Chayavim Tzitzis. Now the Mekoshesh Eitzim, so he died. He was killed. Executed. And the Medrash tells us that that's coming to teach us that even after you die, you're supposed to be wearing tzitzis. Okay, so there are two clear sources, a Gemara Menachos and a Medrash, that indicates that there is something to this minhag of being buried in tzitzis. Vikasha. Damrina beperek misha meitza Rabbi Chev, Rabbi Yonasan, havakash lakiv azla bebeza kvaros, hayushaja techilta, de Rabbi Yonasan, ikbere amale Rabbi Chia, dali kanafecha, shalo yamru, lamacha bay mitzvin vachsha mecharfin osanu. But then Tosos is bothered by the question, which I foreshadowed already when we start right before we started Tosos, and that is, the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says very clearly that when you walk by a cemetery, you're supposed to tuck your tzitzis in. You don't want to make them feel bad, right? We're wearing tzitzis, they're not wearing tzitzis, so don't make them feel bad. So how can there be a minhag of wearing tzitzis in the meantime when we pass by a cemetery, we have to tuck ours in? And if in fact it's expected that the mason are going to be wearing tzitzis, we're not making them feel bad, meaning we're wearing tzitzis and they're wearing tzitzis. But Tosu says, but look, We could still say there's a mitzvah to put a talis on a mace and to bury them in the talis, and we could still say that there's a minhag for us to tuck ours in. Why? Because it's still degrading. It still makes them feel bad because we're obligated, they're not obligated. So we're coming from a position of obligation, makes them feel bad that we're doing it out of obligation. They're doing it just simply because it's a minhag. Avakashal a minhag shenagam la'asir tzitzis me talis shamesim. So the Gemara Tosos now is going to cite a number of the practices of the Balei HaTosos, whether or not to put a talis on a mace. So again, a simple question. It's not a question, but is there a minhag to put a talis on a mace, yes or no? Our Gemara seems to indicate yes. Not it's certainly refutable. The Gemara Menachos also seems to indicate yes. There's a Medrash that says yes. What about Loeg LaRosh? Okay, the Tosfos dealt that with that as a question. Anyway, what's the practice? So Rabbeinu Tam says like this. Rabbeinu Tam, obviously one of the earlier of the Balei HaTosos, grants unto Rashi, brother to Rashbam. So he says, Lafisha tzitzot seder shekayim kol haTorah, the tzitzot ola taf reish v'ches chutim v'eik shem harei tayag v'achshav she'ein chashuv v'kokach harehu ke'ilu made edus sheker. So Rabbeinu Tam says that no, we shouldn't put talisim on the mace. Why? We know the talis corresponds to Kol HaTorah Kula. We have the word tzitzis together with 8 plus 5, 613. It gets us to the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. So you look at them and you're supposed to remember all the mitzvahs in the Torah. So clearly, the idea behind tzitzis is he fulfilled all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Rabbeinu Tam writes, he just wrote this. I'm just translating his words. Nowadays, we don't give as much significance to the talis to the tzitzis. Hard to tell you exactly what that means, but we don't do that nowadays when we're alive. So it's a bit of a chutzpah, where we're not careful about tzitzis when we're alive, and then when the person dies, we're going to put tzitzis on him. So Rabbeinu Tam says it's better not to put the tzitzis as a general principle, not to put them on a mace. V'hachinami darshin b'medrash v'asulam tzitzis l'darasam l'dur tam. Only for a generation that's complete do they wear tzitzis. But Rabbeinu Tam says nowadays we're not so tam, we're not so complete, we're not so perfect. So therefore, no, I don't think we should be putting talisim on the mace. That's the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Va'omari to be a man, are you kulam mekayim mitzvah tzitzis? Lefishaya lekulam talisim shel dal kanafos. Olakachay yosin lahem af b'mosan. Avaata shein lekulam bechayim ein lasos b'mosam. The Re says something very similar to Rabbeinu Tam. Back then, their wardrobe demanded that they wore four-corner garments every day, and therefore they wore tzitzis. Our wardrobe doesn't have four corners to it, and we don't wear tzitzis. Now, I know, we have a minhag Yisrael, where we go out of our way to put a four-corner garment on in order so that we have tzitzis with us all the time. And is Tosha saying that the Re didn't do that? Or in the generation of the Re, they didn't do that? Sounds that way. Okay, so anyway, but again, it's a very similar argument. The point is that since we don't normally wear tzitzis when we're alive, so therefore they should not be put on a body after the body died. Afilo misha ayelo b'chayev shalola vayishas misha enlo. Ukeinyan zeh matzino b'perek basu denida, b'yishone ayim adbil mkelem agab inashin nidos meisos yitchilu chayos mizbayishas v'chule. A similar idea is communicated in the Gemara Nida. I'm not going to go through the Gemara right now. V'o da'anu somchem am masechet smachos aminan Abashal ben bin Sivas Banov Kavru Tachas Magalasov Shaba Vitilo Tchelas Me Afilino Perush Me Taliso. So they took the tzitzis off of him. So again, there is another source that seems to indicate that the tzitzis were removed. V'yesh legros yitiru medikam me'afleinu v'rabbeinu chaim kohen tzedek pirush anan kaimelan k'rabbi yochanan da'amar mitzvos betel sasilavo. We have a major debate as to whether or not mitzvos are going to perpetuate la'asilavo in the world to come, which means basically that this should impact our question of whether or not we're going to put talis on a mace and we're not going to put talis on a mace. If mitzvos do continue la'asilavo after tchias ha'maseim, so we're going to want tzitzis. We're going to want the talis because we're going to put. In other words, for tchias ha'maseim, we're going to come back up. We're going to come back up with a talis. Perfect. If, however, the mitzvos are asidos libatel, if they're going to become nullified, so then there's no point in us wearing a talis when we're buried. And Tosfos now makes a suggestion, fascinating suggestion, that the contradicting Gemaras as to whether or not we should or should not be wearing a talis after we die can in fact be a function of whether or not mitzvos are batal or not going to be batal. And we'll say that the Midrash also falls like Shmuel as well. We're going to see Gemara later this morning. The Gemara later this morning is going to talk about how the wife of Chanina, Ben Dosa, is going to put Tchelis on people lost in love in the future. So, which, by the way, also speaks to the question of whether or not a woman could put tzitzis on a baguette. Mm-hmm. The Gemara in Amud Beis today says pretty much yes. So the Oda Marid Ani Perusho the Ishaita Vada Ramina Lahu Hainu Shemasim about tzitzis Masakana Somiyad Laudia Shekaim Mitzvah tzitzis Lufisha Beged Chadash Velohu Sambo tzitzis Meolim Serach Lasimbo Vechenu Ach Noag Merik Ashkenaz Lasim tzitzis Batalesa Shemes Sheiniker Shekim Tzitzis. And then Tosfos speaks about an old Minhag Ashkenaz. Literally, I'm going to say Minhag Ashkenaz, meaning he quotes the words, Minhag Ashkenaz. He quotes an old Minhag Ashkenaz, this is what we would do. What we do is that when a person dies, so we put the talis on the person, but then we take it off. And the point of putting the talis on the person is just simply to indicate that this person fulfilled the mitzvah of tzitzis. But then we take it off because, in other words, we... Tosfos seems to be of the opinion, the way he presents it, that mitzvos betelos lasilavo, we're not going to need the tzitzis in the future. So therefore, the reason why it's put on the mace is just an indicator that this person fulfilled the mitzvah while he was alive. Okay, that is Tosfos' citing of the Minhag Ashkenaz. I'll tell you, Minhag Ashkenaz. And now this, it's brought down by the Rama. The Rama brings it down. Now Rama comes a couple hundred years after Tosfos, but Minhag Ashkenaz, at least recorded by the Rama, is that we put a talis on a mace. We cut off one of the corners of the tzitzis. Right? Nowadays, I see amongst the Chevra Kedisha, they take the tzitzis and they put it in the hand of the mace. But in other words, so basically we are like in a somewhat of a compromised position in terms of what we do regarding a talis. One last word about this topic, such an interesting topic. One last word about this topic, and that is the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Yechiel Epstein, brother-in-law to the Netziv. So he tells the following story. He tells in the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan is not a place where you're going to find stories. It's halacha. But he tells the following story. He tells the story about the Vilna Gaon. I know we just cited the Vilna Gaon at the beginning of today's shiur. The Vilna Gaon wanted to be buried with a talis. Meaning, even though Minhag Ashkenaz was to bury with a talis and to cut off one of the corners, the Vilna Gaon gave instruction to his Talmidim that I wanted to be buried with a full talis kasher, don't cut off any of the corners. That was his sava. That was his command that he gave to his students. The Aruch HaShulchan tells the story that the person, one of his students who knew the tzava, who knew the instruction, so as they were about to bury the Vilna Gaon, so he got sick. In other words, he had some sort of stomach issue. He had to run to the bathroom. Somebody else took his place, somebody else who did not know about the tzava, got to the tzitzis, cut the corner of the tzitzis, and when the Talmud came back, the Talmud was beside himself, meaning he couldn't believe that that happened, but the Aruch HaShulchan writes, you'll forgive me, I don't have the Aruch HaShulchan in front of me. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, it's a siman min hashamayim that the Minhag Ashkenaz is in fact the Minhag, meaning it wouldn't be that this that the student just simply had a stomach bug, and so therefore he reports that it must be a reflection of the Minhag Ashkenaz. Okay, I knew you were going to ask me, and I apologize because I didn't come prepared. I don't know. Okay. Back to the Gemara. We're now up to story number 13. We are on Ein Dalam and Aleph. We're about 10 lines more, 15 lines from the top of the Amud. Amalei ta'achvilei Har Sinai. So he says, let's go take a look at Har Sinai. So again, Rabbi Barchana is traveling with the Arab who knows everything. Remember yesterday, picked up the sand and was able to smell it and knew directions and knew how far things were away, right? Like the ultimate tour guide. So he says, okay, I'd like to see Har Sinai. So Amalei ta'achvilei Har Sinai azachazed dahadrilei Arkava. It was encircled by scorpions. V'kaima kicham rechivarta. it gave off this white appearance. Shamati Baskol Shameres Oylish Nishmati Vachshav Nishmati Mimeferli. And then he heard a Baskol. Rabbi Bavachana heard the Baskol, and the Baskol said, "One to me, I made a shvua. One to me, who's going to be able to make me for my shvuah?" Now, story ends off similar to the previous story. Ki also lekamed the rabbanan. He goes back to the chacham and amar lo kol Abba Chamra. Again, anyone with the name of Abba, meaning you. You, Rabbah, are really Abba. Like I said a moment ago, Rabbah is a contraction of Rebbe Abba. So anyone by the name of Abba is not that particularly smart. Dumb like a donkey. I know it sounds rough. I know it does. Okay, the Kol Bar Barchana Sichsa. And anyone with the name Bar Barchana is also a fool. And again, that's your name. Rabbah Bar Barchana. What a fool you are. So, Hayalach Lomar Mufalach. What you should have said is, I'll be made for you. Meaning that Akash Baruch Hu made a Shavua, and he can't release himself from his very own Shavua, but you should have been made for the Shavua. Now, a couple of interesting points over here. The Rabbi Chana is going to be made for a shvuah hafara. In other words, we have the idea of a chacham releasing somebody from a shvuah, being matir shvuah. But when we talk about hafara, so who can be made for a shvuah? Only husband wife, right? Where the husband can be made for the wife of his where a husband can be made for the shvuah of his wife. That's where we have the idea of hafara. Over here, the rabbis they ridicule Rabbi Chana. You should have been made for the shvuah. Made for the shvuah, husband and wife. And you want to tell me that our relationship with Hashem is such, a husband and wife, it's okay, man, it's that's also difficult. And even if that relationship is right, meaning generally speaking, if right, the husband, Hakadosh Baruch Hu would be more the husband and we'd be more like the wife, whatever, it's okay. The language is hard. Now, as far as Rabbi Bachana, why wasn't he made for the shvuah? He thought that the shvuah that the Basko was making reference to was about the mabul. So, v'rabbanan and the chachamim say to him, no, that can't be. Imkain, oy li lama. Why did you hear the Basko saying, woe unto me? The shvuah of the mabul, that's not a woe unto me shvuah. That's a good shvuah. Meaning Hashem promised he's not going to destroy the world again with a mabul. That's good. That's really good. So that wouldn't have opened up with the words Oili. The Oili must be a reference to, I exiled my children, and I swore that I'm not going to bring them back, and now, who's going to be made for my Shavuah? That was the Shavuah that was making reference to, and you should have been made for. Story number 14. Again now, Rabbi Rechan is still with his Arab tour guide, and he said, okay, let's, this is an unbelievable tour. I can't the cost of this tour. So they went to Har Sinai. They went to Dor HaMidbar, the burial plot of Dor HaMidbar. Now they're going to Korach. So Ta'ach Velei Bluah de Korach. Show me where the people of Korach are buried. We know Parshas Korach. Earth opened up, swallowed Korach va'adaso into the ground. And so they're somewhere out there. So this particular Arab tour guide knew where. Chazai Trey Bizei, so there were two cracks in the ground. Vavakamafi Kutra, and smoke was coming out from these two cracks. Shako Gavava da Amra Vaam Vaam Mashna Bamaya Udatise Barosha the Rumcha Vaile Hasa. So he took wool, he wrapped it in water, put it at the end of a spear, sucked the spear into the crack where the smoke was coming out, and when he would take it out, so it was singed. It was so hot in there. Amrli atzis manshamas. So he says to me, listen to what they're saying. Vishamas ava amran. And he listened carefully to what was being said by Korach Vadaso. It's a quote. It's famous. You probably heard this before. Moshe v'saraso emes v'hein badayim. Moshe together with his Torah is truth, and they are just simply jokers. They mean a self-reference to themselves, meaning we were wrong, and we were the foolish ones. Amli kol tisin yaman mahadalu ganam lahacha. Now, he said to me, meaning this is what the Arabs said to me, Rabbi Barchana, all 30 days, so the Gehenna would recycle, and it would be like meat being cooked in the pot, meaning the fire really started up again every 30 days. And on the 30th day, while they were being burnt, so once again, they would say, Moshe v'saros emes, v'hein abadaim. So he says, next thing I'd like you to show me is where do you see the heaven and the earth touching, making contact with one another? So he took a roll and he put it in a window, the rekia, in the window in the heaven, and I turned around and then I didn't see the bread. So I turned to the Arab and I said, I saw you put the bread in the window. I turned around, I turned back, the bread's not there again. So I said to you, there must be ganavim. So Amrali, so the Arab said to me, ha gagala derakiyahu. No, that's just simply the earth turning. Dahadar mata natar ad lamachar. Thank you. Ad hacha umishkach aslam. Meaning, that's just simply the world turning. What you'll do is you'll wait till tomorrow at this very same time, and you're going to see that the bread is going to come back again exactly where we just put it. Okay. I'm not, again, like I've been saying a couple of times, I'll just, you know, every now and then I just feel the need to put it in. Obviously, the Gemara over here is trying to communicate a significant idea to us. Again, I highly recommend for much deeper insight and understanding of a lot of these Gemaras, so read Rav Feldman's book, The Juggler and the King. He speaks about this story as well. Anyway, number 16. Rabbi Yochanan Mishnai Zimna Chada Hava Ka'azlinim B'Sfinasa. Rabbi Yochanan told us the following story. By the way, in other words, there are 21 stories altogether, like I mentioned. Starting with story number 16, so we leave Rabbi Barchana. Meaning from 1 through 16, from 1 through 15, so the stories that we're dealing with were all revolved around Rabbi Barchana. Although, to be fair, the first couple of stories, the Gemara just kept saying, I'm a Rabbi, I'm a Rabbi. So, but I assume, could be right, could be wrong, but I assume that it's Rabbi Barchana. So now, number 16, so we move to different Amorim. Rabbi Yochanan Mishnai Zimna, Rabbi Yochanan told us the following episode. Zimna Chara, one time, I was on above a Chazina Kavra, and I saw this fish, the Afke Laresha Miyama, the Damyanene Kitresi Ara. And the fish was so big, and the head popped out of the ocean, and I looked at the two eyes of the fish, and it looked like the moon. They were so big. Water was flowing out of the nose of the fish. And again, the fish was so big, it was so immense, it was so huge, so it looked like rivers that were flowing, the rivers of Sura. 17. Rav Safra Mishai, Rav Safra told me the following story. I too was on a boat. And I saw a fish also, massive inside. Pop its head out of the water. Now the fish had a horn on it, and on the horn the following inscription: Anabir Yakala Shabiyam Vehavina Tlasmi Aparse. So I am not one of the larger fish in the ocean, and I extend 300 parsa, Vazlin Lafuma de Livyasan, and I can fit into the mouth of the Livyasan. So if you think I'm big, wait till you see my friend. So Amar Ravashi Ahu Izadiyamahu Debechisha Visle Karna. And Ravashi just says, for purpose of identification, the name of the fish that you saw, that you Rav Safra saw, you saw Izadiyam, literally the goat of the ocean. Okay, some species of fish that has a horn on the top of his head. Number 18. I does he have any pictures, by the way? Okay, I didn't think so. But I'd still be interested. I think everyone would. Rabbi Yochanan Mishtai. Rabbi Yochanan tells over the following story. Zimna chada hava kazlin b'svinasa. One time I was on a boat. V'chazina hi kartalisa. Davaka mikvah ba avanim tavos. And I saw this chest, and in this chest there were attached to it precious stones and pearls. Vahadri la mina dekavre de mikre karsha. And surrounding it were these types of fish that were referred to as karsha. So, treasure chest guarded by fish. Nachis bar amorai. So a diver. Right, the Rashma on the top of the next Amud says, Adam shiyodeh ala shut b'mayim. Somebody knows how to swim in the water. So a diver, what goes, v'raga shuvay l'shamtei le'atmei. One of the fish now realizes that the diver is trying to go in there and get that chest. And so what the fish does is that the fish basically goes into attack mode. And the fish is going to attack the diver and looking to basically dislocate his hip. Vishada zika dechala v'nachas. So what the diver was expecting that, seemingly. And so he takes some vinegar, throws it at the fish, and the fish smelled the vinegar and ran away. Nafak baskala amrala ma islach bahadeh. Kartila, and out comes the baskal, and the baskal says, "Stay away from the chest." Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, the wife of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, the asida, the shadja techilta baal etzadik alama daase, and what she's going to do is take the tchelis, which was apparently in the chest, and attach it to the tzitzis of the tzadikim in the world to come. So we already heard this Gemara once before today. Tosus quoted this Gemara, and Tosus was making the argument that clearly they're of the opinion that we're going to be wearing tzitzis even lasa lavo, even in the future. Okay, and again, went back to the question, the discussion of whether or not we should be putting a talis on a mace, yes or no. Gemara here seems to indicate that yes, but Tosus says, but look, again, going back to what we learned earlier this morning, Tosus says it's a machlokas whether or not mitzvahs are betelos lasa lavo, are not betelos lasa lavo. So these people clearly are of the opinion that they're not going to be batel. But if you subscribe to the idea that mitzvahs are going to be batel, so then you don't, again, it goes back to what we discussed earlier. Okay. Where am I? Number 19. Okay. Rav Yehuda. Hindua. Right? Hindu, by the way, we normally translate as India, and it makes sense because that's how the word sounds and indicates, but you'll see. Every time the word Hindu comes up, so the Rishonim translated it as Ethiopia. So, and the Gemara Megillah has that discussion. Right? Mehoduvat Kush. Right, so generally speaking, India is referred to as Hodu, generally. Anyway, so Rav Yehuda Hindua Mishtai Zimnechada Hava Zin B'Sfinas. And one time they were going on a boat. V'Chazina Oevin Tavadava Hadir La Tanina. Precious stone that was surrounded by this sea creature, Tanin. Nachis Bar Marai Lachtei Lamser Lasuye. So once again, a diver goes in order to retrieve it. Asa Tanina Kabala Mevla Lalasvinase. And so the sea creature goes into the attack mode, trying to protect the precious jewel. Asa Pish Kansa Pascal Reshe. So along comes this raven and chops off the head of the sea creature who's about to swallow the diver. It's a Pichumai Vahava Rama. I'm sorry. Vahavadama. Because the sea creature was so big, so there was so much blood in the water, water started looking red. Now, what the other sea creature did is he took the precious stone, wrapped it around the neck of the other sea creature who was just beheaded, and sea creature came back to life. Tchias Ameitzim, based on this precious stone. Obviously, the stone is significant. Hada asa kabai bala lesvinase. Hada asa tzifra paskal reshe shaklu alai. I'm sorry. Paskal reshe. So the sea creature now wanted to swallow the boat. Or I should say, rather, the diver. So once again, along comes the bird, chops off the head of the sea creature and takes it and throws it back onto the boat. And the diver takes the precious stone now and he throws it onto the boat. Okay. Now, Now, on the boat, so there was salted bird, meaning the people on the boat needed food. So what the so what they did while they're traveling is they just simply took with them salted meat, specifically bird meat, and chicken, whatever. And now the stone, which we know has resurrecting ability, was thrown onto the boat, specifically onto the birds. Okay, hopefully you'll figure out what's going to happen. So, Osvina alayu shaklu parchulei bahada. And now what, after they landed on the birds, so the birds were resurrected, and they flew away. Okay, number 20. Tanu rabbanan ma'aseh b'Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Yehoshua shehayu ba'im b'sfina v'hayah Rabbi Elazar yashen v'Rabbi Yehoshua ne'or. Okay, this story is going to be dramatically different than the previous stories in that the previous stories were Amorite. This story is told over as a Braisa, meaning these are Tanaim. So, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lazar on a boat. Rabbi Lazar is sleeping, Rabbi Yeshua is awake. Nizdaz, Rabbi Yeshua, Venena, Rabbi Lazar. So, Rabbi Yeshua is shuddering. And Rabbi Lazar wakes up based on the shuddering. Amalei maze Yeshua mimneimanaz nizdazas. What was so exciting? How come you were quaking in your boots? Amarle mor gadol yisi b'yam. So he says, I saw this great light coming from the ocean. Amarlo shema inav shel livyasan risa. Oh, you saw the eye of the livyasan. Dirchiv einav ka'afife shachar. Okay, that's it. Looks like the morning dawn. Okay, even in the Gemara, by the way, we get like hints and innuendos of the Leviathan, meaning like even in the Gemara, there's no like real sighting. One time I was walking through the desert. Oh, by the way, I should have introduced this. Is story number 21. This is it, the last of the stories. So one time I was going through the desert. And we had a thigh of an animal. Pasachna v'nakrina. So first we did nikur. Right, the only way we're going to be able to eat the hind of an animal is first by removing the ginanasha. Okay, nowadays in the minhag in America is not to do that, not to remove it, but just don't get that's not the minhag. The minhag is not to eat it altogether. We take the back end of every animal that we shecht and we sell it. We sell it to the goyim. We don't eat it. So the but it's edible. And I heard it's delicious. And what you have to do is you have to just simply traper. You have to remove the ginanasha. So they did. The anachna asvei, and we put on some sort of herb in order to roast it. Adamaisin and sive. Now we're looking for wood because that's what we need in order to roast it. So we're looking for wood. So chalam itma vitavinan, and so the side of the animal, the hip of the animal, it kind of regenerated, meaning that whatever herb that we put it on had some sort of regenerative power. We roasted it. Ki hadron lebasa treisa yachishasa chazin lahanu gumre davakam mechalshe ki asalakame. I'm sorry, kamechalshe. And we roasted it. We ate it. And it was delicious. Well, I added that part, but I just assume the and then. We came back a year later. Now, a year later, you would assume that whatever fire they made was put out by that point in time. It was not put out. In other words, it was still, the embers were still glowing from the barbecue they made a year ago. In terms of the herb regenerating, so that herb is samtari. It'd be a lot better if we could identify that. And havuhanu gumre de ritma havu. And as far as the coals were concerned, the coals came from the wood of rotem, ritma, and again must be an excellent kind of wood that burns for a very long time. All right, vayivra nachash. Sorry, vayivra lekim esataninim agedolim hakatagim arzila diama rav yochanan arzil livyasan. Okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu created the taninim agedolim. What is that in reference to? So, two opinions. One opinion is that's a reference to Arzilai. Okay. Arzilai Diyama. Again, some sort of fantastic animal that's in the ocean. The Rashbam describes it as Re'emim Bayam. Okay. And the other explanation is that just simply Leviathan. Nice and easy. So, Rav Yochanan Azel Leviathan. Nachash. Bereach v'liv yasan nachash akatan. So the nachash is bereach. It's it basically looked like a brick, shaped like a brick. The Rashbam says that it's vertical. Okay, and the female is nachash akaltan, and the Rashbam describes that as being leviasan akeva she makif is called olam. Basically, it's circular in nature, encircling the entire world. Shenemar bayamahu yifkod Hashem becharvo hakashev v'chule. Okay, Simon. Kol Sha'a Yardain. And in these upcoming Gemaras, we're going to be going through a lot of the Agadata. We're going to be starting off with the Livyasan and some Agadata regarding the Livyasan. If you remember the Rashbam when he introduced us to this Agadata, going back to 9 Gimel and Aleph, so he said back there that this is a lot of encrypted information where the Chachamim wanted to give their sodas, they wanted to give their secrets, but they didn't want to divulge their secrets. So it comes to us in the form of Agadata. And the Rashbam also writes, O Lefarish, I'm reading the Rashbam back in 9 Gimel. O Lefarish Mikras Amurim B'Sefer Eov, HaMedabrim Ba'ofas Gedolim V'Hemus V'Dagim Gedolim Shekol Sichas HaMidei Chachamim Tzrichim Tavlet. A lot of Psukim and Eov that talk about these fantastic animals, these fantastic creatures, and so we're going to be looking at them. So you'll notice that from here forward, we'll stop here, but tomorrow we'll pick it up. From here forward, we're going to be quoting a lot of Psukim regarding Eov. The Rashbam tells us that Eov deals a lot with these creatures, and so we're going to see the Gemaras, I mean a lot of other Psukim as well, but we're going to see the Gemara delve into some of these creatures, and then I'll take us through the entirety of tomorrow's daf. At the end of tomorrow's daf, we resume back with the Gemara and the Halacha.